The Torah in this week's Parsha begins with a brief section dealing with the observance of Shabbos. Aside from prohibiting melacha generally, the Torah singles out one specific action which is prohibited on Shabbos. Lo sivaru eish b'chol moshvoseichem b'yom ha-Shabbos. You cannot have a fire, light a fire on Shabbos. Anywhere. With the exception of perhaps one other case found in last week's parasha, but dependent upon a debate amongst the Tanoim of how to read Becharish uvaKatzir Tishbosh. Every time the Torah mentions the prohibition of Malacha on Shabbos, it speaks of Malacha, or more accurately, Kol Malacha, but does not mention any specific act or labor. So the question begs itself, why Havara? Not surprisingly, this did not escape Chazal's attention. In several places in Shas, we find a reference to the debate between Rabbi Nassan and Rabbi Yose. According to Rabbi Nassan, the Malach of Havara is no different than any other of the 39 Malachos. The purpose of singling it out is Lachalik, to teach us that one who is Mechalo Shabbos, doing multiple Malachos, is potentially liable for each one individually. Rabbi Yose, however, believes that the Torah singles out Havara precisely because it is not a full-fledged malacha, lalav yotzas, and had the Torah not mentioned it at all, it would not have been prohibited. And according to Rabbi Yose, the prohibition of Havara on Shabbos is only a lav, a negative commandment, and does not carry the penalties of kares or capital punishment. Needless to say, many of the Pashkanim, even those who cite the debate in Chazal, were not satisfied on a pshat level and proposed alternatives. In fact, not only Rabbinic Pashkanim, but even the Karaites were interested in this verse. It is the source for their idea that one cannot have one's fire burning on Shabbos, even if it were lit before Shabbos. It is for them and their interpretation that we can be grateful, A, for an expansive passage in Ibn Ezra on this pasuk refuting and ridiculing their view, and B, the fact that we are careful to enjoy cholent on Shabbos. Amongst the classical Parshanim, Rashbam argues that the reason why the Torah singles out Havara is to make it clear that the leniencies of Ochel Nefesh, that is, Malacha done for the purposes of food preparation relatively proximate to the meal, which exist on Yom Tov, do not exist on Shabbos. Fire is central to much of food preparation, and thus the Torah singles it out to make absolutely clear that not even Ochel Nefesh may be done on Shabbos. Others, including Rav Yosef Bechor Shor and a number of other Balei HaTosfos, suggests that Havara doesn't seem to be such a significant malacha that one would have thought that it would be prohibited, echoing at least the question, although not the actual answer, of Rabbi Yose that I cited before, that in fact it is prohibited but not actually malacha. However, whereas Rabbi Yose thought that it was not actually malacha, Bechor Shor and others think that it is, and that is exactly what the pasuk is teaching us. Sfarno presents an argument somewhat similar to Bechor Shor's approach, but focused on the technical aspect of forbidden malacha on Shabbos. There is a basic principle in the laws of Shabbos that for a malacha to be prohibited mid-oraisa, it must be performed in a manner which can be considered maleches machshavos, a calculated, intentional, and productive act. Amongst the elements that this excludes is a malacha done in a destructive fashion, mekalkel. Sfarno states that since Havara, at least in the immediate act of consumption, is inherently destructive, one might have thought that Havara by definition could not be a maleches machshavos, and thus could not be prohibited mid oraisa on Shabbos. Hence the Torah has to tell us that this is exceptional. His approach is probably reflective of a contentious debate in the Gemara about whether according to Rabbi Shimon, Havara and Hovel are prohibited by the Torah even in situations where they are performed in a wholly destructive manner because kilkul is inherent in it. One of the Amoraim said that. One of the Amoraim said, tani tana lavra. Go teach it outside the base of Medrash. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, it has to be misafim. Rav Shamshin Rafal Hirsch, however, presents a completely different approach. He writes, Havaras eish eino lechora pu'ulas yotzeres, ela pu'la harsonis. The burning of fire is not, it would seem, a creative act, but a rather a destructive one. Me'idach, on the other hand, the lighting of fire, he hakoa hamevi umaftiach laodam es shiltono haamitia olam hagashmi. It represents the power that brings and ensures man his absolute control over the physical world. In explaining the difference between certain aspects of Malacha on Yom Tov versus Shabbos, he suggests that the prohibition of Malacha on Yom Tov stems from the status of Moed, a festival, which prohibits only Malachas Avoda, one's toil, but not Malachas Ochel Nefesh. The prohibition of Malacha on Shabbos, on the other hand, he writes, L'umazos, Shvisas Malacha b'Shabbos hi ha'odah, she'ashem hu she'enit la'odam es koach ha'shlita ba'olam ha'gashmi, v'she'en la'odam linhog b'shlita zo ela ke'ovei Hashem. In contrast, the stoppage of Malacha on Shabbos is an admission that God has endowed humanity with the power of control over the physical world, and that humankind should only exercise that power as or in a manner of an Ovei Hashem, of a servant of God. From the perspective of the laws of nature, Rapersh is absolutely correct. The ability to master fire has enabled humankind to extract calories from sources that it could not otherwise, and has allowed us to massively reshape our landscape. This is a capacity possessed by no other creature in the animal kingdom. If we were to think about the modern day equivalent of Lo Sivaru Esh, that is a tool which expresses human mastery over the natural world, we would probably identify electricity. Electricity is not actually fire, although a number of the poskim of 19th century thought that it was. And even if they were wrong from a strictly physical perspective, their position makes a lot of sense from a conceptual perspective. And while many poskim since have backtracked on this issue, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach begrudgingly allows it to be treated as a rabbinic prohibition of molid. I say begrudgingly, not that he wanted to permit it, but he couldn't make a strong argument why it was technically prohibited. But only because of the minhag to do so that we treat it as molid, not because he really thought that it was conceptually correct. Nonetheless, Rav Asher Weiss more recently has argued that it should be considered a makeh b'pakish. The position is not new. The Chazon Ish essentially held that position. Maybe boneh, maybe makeh b'pakish. But what is new was his basis for this argument. The Yerushalmi says that Rav Yochanan of Rabbi Shimon ben Lachish, avdin havayeh b'hadah pirkat plashin l'plog. They learned the seventh parak of Shabbos, the Malachos, for 3.5 years be'iyun, with havayos. Abkun minei arboin chasar achas toldos al kochad v'chad. They managed to derive for each amalacha 39 toldos, 40 minus 1 toldos. But manda ashkechon mismoch, that which they could connect to an av, samchun. They would connect to an av. Hodelo ashkechon mismoch, those that they couldn't tie conceptually to any av malacha, avdune mishum makeh b'patish. They put it in the category makeh b'patish. From this Yerushalmi, at least, it appears that the Chachamim understood what was prohibited intuitively, and then they had to find a category to which it belonged. Rav Weiss is arguing here that closing electrical circuits is so obviously malacha, and because it falls under nothing else, it obviously is makeh b'patish. On a technical level, his approach is debatable, but in capturing the larger picture of Shabbos, it seems to me, his approach is both insightful and spot on. It also dovetails nicely with Rav Hirsch's conception of the purpose of prohibited malacha. As we have moved farther and farther into the information economy, it is not just electricity, but technology specifically, which reflects a significant part of human creativity and in how we control the world. The lesson of Shabbos, then, borrowing Rav Hirsch's formulation, is that man is reminded that our power over creation needs to be exercised exclusively as an Oved Hashem, in the service of God, and in a manner that is befitting the servants of God. And herein lies an even more important point. We may not demonstrate mastery over creation via malacha at all on Shabbos. The real lesson, then, is that during the week, when we do use the tools of mastery, we must do so as Ovdei Hashem. And here, I think, is where we ought to consider where we as a society have lost our way. The purpose of every tool, including technology, is to master creation. That is, we are the ones who wield the tools to accomplish our hopefully moral and productive ends. We are supposed to control the tools. The tools are not supposed to control us. To use Yeshayahu's metaphor of the axe and the person wielding it, Hayispa'er hagarzen ala chotzei bo, Hayiskadel hamasor al minifo. The person who holds the axe waves the axe. The axe doesn't wave the person. The reality, however, seems, as Shlomo HaMelech describes it in Kohelet, Ra'isi avadim al susim, v'sarim holchim kavadim al ha'aretz. I saw the servants riding on the horses, and the masters walking in front of them. Technology is supposed to be our tool to control our world. But think about how much it controls us. Do we control our smartphones, or do they control us? Do we use the product, or are we the product? Does the use of various technologies actually improve the quality of our lives, or is it a net loss in time, relationships, and health? Similarly, on a moral level, it is often said that technology and automation is going to put human workers out of jobs. This is a lie. Technology and automation do not take anyone's jobs. Human beings who choose to adopt those technologies put people out of jobs. I'm not arguing here for or against automation in any particular area, but rather against the desire of some to acquit themselves of the moral responsibility of making those choices. The technology does not control us. We control, or at least we should control it. And we are morally responsible for the decisions we make using that technology. And thus, it is no surprise that the Torah chooses the Malach of Havara as the paradigm of Shabbos. Because just as fire can be the source of light and life, but also death and destruction, so too is our mastery over creation. And the technological tools that we use to achieve that mastery can improve the world or can destroy it. If we are careless or thoughtless, that technology will destroy us. As in Yirmiyahu's Penteitzei Cha'esh Hamasi, lest my anger come out like fire and consume, and there is no one to extinguish it. On the other hand, if we are thoughtful and careful, it can serve as the equivalent of a different fire, that of the Mizbeach, Eish Tamid Tukar HaMizbeach Lo Sechbeh, one which causes a divine light to shine in our world. Good Shabbos.